Good evening, and welcome to episode of the Hot Tag Podcast. We have so much to talk about. This is our 50th episode. To discuss all of it, Matt and Carrie, I'm Biggs. Good evening, Matt and Carrie. How are you guys?
Well, I'm great. Happy
Great.
50th, everyone.
Yes,
Yeah.
50th. 50th. This is long. Like, this is a long time. Now, one of the things I want to discuss top is toxic fans. We see a lot of that on social media, Matt, like the tribalism. What's your initial take when you see toxic fandom?
It's one that it's so annoying. Like, it's just these two come.
What the hell?
Right, Matt's going to come back. Carrie, what is your thoughts on toxic fandom while we wait for Matt?
I mean, it's
This is something.
everywhere. I'm.
It is because I just want to enjoy this stuff. I mean, it's fun to have a little banter now and then, but man, it just if you don't like it, just stop watching. Why are you torturing yourself? So let's go. Every once in a while I get like this to myself. I'll get into it with someone on Facebook, but for the most part, like, I just wish we could go to, if you want to watch it and enjoy it, do it. And I just you don't need to attack the person into having an opinion on it.
Carrie, what's your take? You watch a lot of it. When you look at a bunch of this, where do you think toxic fandom starts?
I think it starts with just it the tribalism. Yeah, it's like, well, you I've even been told that I can't like WWE and AEW at the same time. And I'm like, it's wrestling, dude. I'm gonna watch whatever I want whenever I want. And that's the whole thing. It's just like anything else in life. Everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's got a And I mean, just because you don't like somebody's opinion doesn't mean you need to go just acting a fool. Like, but, and also another thing is just how much crap news gets spread by people online. Like, I'm one of the podcasts that I follow is Mad Men. And today I watched a guy, some rando guy, say that one of the Mad Men guys reported something about FTR. And then the guy that he was reporting on came on and said, "No, dude, I didn't say I never reported any of that." It's people that are clout chasers, people that are actually trying to ride on the coattails of other people that actually do the work. It's that kind of stuff. It's like, it's just another place where people are going to try to put their name out there. And if it's by putting false stuff out there or putting true stuff, they're going to do it.
When I look at it, I look at these toxic people. I just give them one piece of advice. Touch grass. Go outside. Look at a bird. Like, walk on concrete. Do something with yourself because they have a gatekeeper mentality over the industry. I'm like, wait a minute. You've been a fan since 2006. Your sphere of knowledge starts with like middle of the Super Cena era. And it just is wild to me. Now, Carrie, when we look at Vince McMahon leaving and the creative changes, how much role do you think that Triple H listens to the fan reactions?
I mean, it's like me and my husband were having a pretty good discussion about it. I don't feel like I think to a certain point you have to listen to the fans. However, you don't have to go Tony Khan levels with listening to the fans. I think with Triple H's new direction, he's doing a lot more. I mean, I don't think you would ever catch Vince McMahon dead on Twitter, posting on Twitter. Or, I feel like him and Steph are kind of, H and Steph are kind of embracing this medium, because right now that's the way that wrestling news is spread. That's the way people are able to put their opinions out there. I really think that they are listening to they're seeing a buzz online. I mean, look at this thing with Sami Zayn. Do we really think that You know, we're putting our opinions out there that we don't want the bloodline to turn on him. You know, we want this to continue going. And I think he is listening to that. He's seeing what's working and what isn't. And I mean, like I said, we don't want it to go to Tony Khan levels, because Tony Khan, that's all he does. I would feel like Tony Khan spends a considerable amount of time on Twitter or Facebook or TikTok, just watching what people have to say, and he takes it to heart. I think Stephanie and H are a little more savvy than that.
Matt, looking at, you know, they kind of, well, Stephanie grew up in the business. Triple H kind of came to the business at a younger age than Tony Khan. Mm-hmm. Do you think how he entered the industry changes his perspective on how he is as a booker / promoter?
Well, I think just being in the industry, obviously, you know, I mean, changes his perception. Like, he knows you can't give us everything we want every single time. Like, otherwise you're going to end up, you know, with the Acclaimed getting a rematch 2 weeks after losing clean when they don't really deserve a rematch. It, you know, he understands, you know, just you got to make stuff make sense. And I feel like WWE lately has made stuff made sense, right? Like, we're not just doing, you know, we're not doing rematches for the 35th time on an episode of Raw. You know, we're doing new, exciting, fun stuff, and it's making sense. So yeah, I think being in the business, understanding the business, and I mean, he got to come up kind of in a golden age too, you know, in the business when, you know, I mean, Vince was more or less with it, you know, and I mean, stuff, you know, he had a lot of great people in the industry working with him, and stuff was making a lot of sense back in the 90s and, you know, 80s, 90s, and early 2000s. So, yeah, obviously, you know, I think being in the business helps him, and Tony would be, you know, very, it would be smart of Tony to maybe take heed of that, you know, maybe take some advice from some of these people that have been in the business.
Speaking of Tony Khan, Gary, I make the thought that Tony Khan isn't the nice guy that people think, because you have a lot of his talent who want out, and he in his mind is either, they call it a garden contract, which means that he's going to pay people to stay home, and instead of releasing them, like somebody like a Malachi Black, he received a conditional release, which means he can't work for anybody that has TV. Now, Buddy Murphy, a Buddy Andrews or Matthews, whatever, he also probably wants his release. There are people who want his release. Do you see Tony Khan kind of losing a little bit of that, you know, I want everybody to be my friend type thing? Or do you see that he's going to be hard on certain individuals and not so much the EVPs or a bloated Chris Jericho or CM Punk?
I mean, when AEW first came around, I mean, he was trying to play, you know, the hero to Vince's villain. Mm-hmm. You know, he was trying to say, oh, look at me. I'm going to offer this, and we're going to do this, and I'm going to let, you know, my friends are going to be the EVPs, and everybody's going to be equal. I think it's going to be a little harder for him to do that now, because now that Vince is gone, there's not really he's actually assuming the villain role now because of the way he's blindly going along with the terrible booking, with the having a roster that has so much talent on it, but he's not doing the right things that need to be done. He's still booking like all these people are his friends. Like, he wants to give, you know, someone this person TV time, and it's just so crazy the way it's done that he's becoming the villain now. He's assuming that Vince role. He's assuming it's going to end up being that way, where he's going to have to start being a little harder and releasing people and letting people go. And like I said, it's definitely, yeah, like he in that beginning stage, he was able to play off of that with, oh, look, Vince is such a horrible monster, and he's just a czar, and we need to defeat him. And he's not going to have that now, because WWE is going to be an entirely different animal now.
I look at it like Tony Khan has had to grow up a little bit in the last 3 years, but I think some of it he refuses to. Like, when you watch these post pay-per-view scrums, this is kind of scary. He gives creepy fanboy vibes, Matt. Like, what? Like, he's a billionaire or the son of a billionaire. Do you really think the people in the locker room actually truly respect him, or they respect his money?
Oh, they respect the money, 100%. I mean, these guys have taken advantage of him every single step of the way. And so I'll kind of go the other way here, though, a little bit with some of these contracts and these guys wanting out. Like, some of these guys just wanted out of WWE in the worst way, and I get it. I mean, a lot of these guys were just not being used by Vince and his writing team. So I get why they wanted to leave. But now, I'm sorry. Yes, things have changed, but I mean, you still are under contract, and that's been WWE's way of handling things too. So it's not like I can sit here and say, "Oh, Tony Khan's this awful human," when WWE's done the same thing to these guys. I do though vividly remember who was the one not long ago, Ali. He wanted out of WWE, started this big Twitter thing, really wanting to go to AEW. And I do remember Tony Khan tweeting out that, stuff like this would just not happen in this country, so, or in his company. So it is very much a, he's kind of going back on his word here a little bit, because this is not what he had initially told people, what he was going to be doing. So, but yeah, these guys have taken advantage of him all the way here. They've gotten more money from Tony Khan than they would have gotten anywhere else, and probably by 10 times. I mean, he is overpaid for this talent, and I guess if you're a fanboy and you don't know what you're doing, maybe just don't start a wrestling company without consulting the professionals in the business.
I think he refused to start incrementally, where he just went and signed every talent
Everyone.
available, everybody, and that will come back to bite him, because I know there is young talent out there who will probably be held down. Speaking of, when we come back from break, I'm apparently going to lose my mind over an AEW recent signing, and these two are going to try to talk me out of it. You're listening to the Hot Tag Podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with the Hot Tag Podcast. Carrie, Matt, and Terry. Ha! So, Saraya, the former Paige, debuted on the Grand Slam edition of Dynamite last Wednesday. I have thoughts. One, why is she there? Like, I get to pop a rating, but is she really going to be in the ring? The last time she was in a ring, she had to be retired because the WWE wouldn't clear her. That means that the WWE's doctors are a little more caring about their athletes than AEW. That's weird to me. Two, I went back and I watched the movie Fighting with My Family. That was her semi-autobiographical, full of BS story about her life. Something hit me where she's talking in the movie, her character is saying how she's not going to be one of these fake plasticky women. She wants to be an actual wrestler. You can kind of draw the line from that line to how she came down to the ring looking like every other female wrestler. And people want to make excuses for Saraya because, oh, they say she was young. She's 30 now. This is a person who has had a documented history of atrocious behavior. Just, and let me give you, let me paint the picture. She dates a man named Ronnie Radke. He is a musician type guy. I listen to some of his music. It's kind of trash, but that's beside the point. He is the leader of a group called,
Musicians being very generous.
yes,
Yeah, very.
Falling in Reverse. Now, I'm about to say this. So he was involved in killing an 18-year-old man named Michael Allen Cook, where they showed up to fight. Radke's friend shot and killed Cook. Radke convinced he actually confessed, but he wasn't charged. Then he was arrested in 2012 for beating his girlfriend. Then he was also arrested at Six Flags the same year for throwing a mic stand and hitting a 16-year-old girl and a 24-year-old man with three mic stands.
Course he
Then
is.
He was accused of sexual assault, and this is a man who's made transphobic comments. And my thing is this: you are who you date, you are who you're with, and this is Paige, where or Saraya, where she has shown herself to make such atrocious decisions. Where I can't get behind this signing, Carrot. I can't stand like the simple fact that you know when she steps on the stage on Wednesday, she's gonna have some long anti-WW speech, even though they pay for her surgery, they let her keep her Twitch account, and they employed her for 4 years longer than what she should have been. Make it make sense, Carrot.
I mean, I don't think I can make it make sense. I mean, it's gonna be what one of those things. What are people willing to tolerate? What are people willing to, you know? And a lot of the times, like for me, and I'll miss again, just my personal example, the Undertaker. Okay, I strongly dislike the man's politics. However, wrestling is one of those things where you can kind of differentiate someone's wrestling gimmick from the person that they really are. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Like, I can continue to watch The Undertaker and enjoy the content that The Undertaker put out as The Undertaker. I don't necessarily have to sign to Callaway's, you know, the way he conducts his life, the way he conducts his politics. That type of stuff. I mean, I don't really know a lot about the former Paige, because at the poor when she was wrestling, honestly, I really wasn't watching WWE at the time. I mean, I hadn't been watching wrestling on a weekly basis for quite some time until AEW started. I mean, I was occasionally watching, but I don't really know how she was in the ring, like when she was in her prime heyday with WWE. I've gone back and seen some videos, and I mean, I've seen worse. However, I've seen better. And like I said, with, you know, some of your personal choices outside of the ring are going to have a negative impact on the way some people view you, like the way you're viewing her right now. You can't get behind that. There are going to be some people that like her enough to ignore that. So I mean, it's just gonna be a case by case basis to me. I mean, if you like what she does in the ring and you can separate that from what, you know, who she associates with and whatever, that's you. But like, I'm kind of with you. I don't know I don't know if I can separate something that important and something that blatant. So I mean, it's just gonna be up to everybody to decide how they're gonna handle that.
Now, Matt, you kind of explain her boyfriend's angle. This is a man who he's unrepentant about it, and as an employee of a major wrestling company, you know he's about to say something stupid. Like that's his thing. He's gonna say something dumb where it's gonna fall back on her. If you're Tony Khan, do you have that talk with her? Say, hey, you might want to tell your man to kind of calm it down because it's gonna blow back on us, or is he just so starstruck where she can do whatever she wants?
Well, I mean, she can date who she wants. I guess he's not employed by the company, right? Our spouses, I've done stuff that's dumb. It's not held against my wife's company or anything like that. I just no. Here's the thing about the signing. I don't get it. I don't care about the AEW's women division. Yeah, the guy's probably gonna say something stupid. Here's why. Why is she using his song to come down to the ring? Like, why couldn't you just pick anything else? Like, anything else? Yeah, I think the best way for me to sum up this signing, though, is just it's AEW's women division, and I just don't care anymore.
Actually, when I saw the signing, I felt bad for Chris Statlander for one simple reason that she has blown out both knees and going through yet another surgery again. That means she'll be gone for another 9 months again, but she keeps coming back. And she was on the verge of like contending for that world title. When she comes back, there's gonna be so many people ahead of her. she really gonna be like a mid she's gonna be like a mid carder, and she has more talent than just about everyone ahead of her, and it's just gonna push everybody down. Like Hikaru Shida tweeted a picture of herself holding two different belts from Japan. She's over here winning titles. She can't get a whiff of a title shot over here. And it falls to people like Tony Khan, Kenny Omega, all those smart backstage people who can't book women correctly. And meanwhile, you have Triple H is out here like devoting main events to women. Now, before we hop to the next topic, apparently Ric Flair says that he's not retired.
Oh God.
Yes, I saw that. He refuses to retire. He says he will never retire.
Okay. Just why? Next topic. I'm not giving this guy any more time on our show. I just re like why? I have more questions than answers for this.
Like
Wow.
he's inspired by Ricky Steamboat possibly coming back for a match.
Well,
Ricky
that
Steamboat,
doesn't even need to happen.
no, but at least Ricky Steamboat has kept himself in shape.
Right. Ric Flair passed out twice during his last match. Twice.
Yeah, if anybody doesn't have any, he has no business being in a wrestling ring ever again. Now, for whatever reason, Sting continues to surprise us, but it's getting to the point where it's almost it's somebody is going to die in a wrestling ring. It's I just I keep feeling it. It's just it's going to happen. It's going to happen soon if this type of crap is continued to allowed be allowed to happen. These promoters have to say no. Do not let Ric Flair in another wrestling ring. Don't do it.
Oh, if you're a garbage promotion out there though, like Ric Flair is a golden ticket for you to actually make
Because he'll
money for
do
yourself.
anything. He
Oh,
will. He
anything.
is
He
pouring himself out at this point.
legit wants. I truly think the guy wants to die in the ring. Like that's how he wants to go out and be. You know, just that's just who he is. I don't. Can we move on to the next topic? This guy
Yes.
just. I'm annoyed about it at this point.
We have probably a contestant for character or performer of the year. Not so much entering, but their contribution to the industry in general. If I had to give that award out, it'd be our guy, Sami Zayn. How over is Sami Zayn, Carrie? I mean, damn.
It's look, let me tell you, when he was in the ring, Bloodline on one side, he's on the other side of the ring by himself, I was absolutely prepared to be pissed off. I was like, they Jay rips the shirt off. I'm like, this dude is about to get super kicked into the great beyond. And Roman Reigns pulls out the Honoré Ooze shirt. Like, I just, what the hell? Like, look, I've actually had the privilege of watching Sami Zayn as El Generico wrestle, which was awesome in itself. But like, guys, I was really prepared to just be so pissed at Roman, and it's like it's just another step in the like I've been one of the last ones. I've refused to acknowledge the tribal chief. But it's
Oh.
the last, I had to finally acknowledge the tribal chief. I will no longer tell him to acknowledge these nuts. I will. I have acknowledged the tribal chief. And God, it took Sami Zayn to do it. That's the wild part. I mean, I don't think this dude can do any wrong. Like, let him do whatever he wants. I'm so down with it.
We got to give it up, Matt, to our guy, Jim Cornette, who apparently, when he was booking Ring of Honor, told El Generico, "You're funny backstage. Take off the mask and start talking." Sami Zayn fought that for the longest time. And look where he is now. Like, he can still go in the ring, but his character is hilarious. He is just, he brings.
His Twitter is like
He brings
the
comedy to the Bloodline. He is funnier than Paul Heyman. He is funnier than anyone else in the Bloodline. And I like the fact that once the Bloodline story tends to come to an end, Sami Zayn's gonna have the strongest hand in what happens. How
Oh,
do
yeah.
you see the next year for Sami Zayn?
Yeah, I don't, it's funny you bring that up because I, after the Whale show, I was like, man, where did I go with this storyline? And you're right. He has made the Bloodline kind of fun again. Like it's livened it up. There's something to do again. It's exciting. For the next year, I mean, I don't know. I think eventually we're gonna see, Kevin Steen and him, they're Kevin Owens and him, they're probably going to end up teaming and going after the belts. That's kind of how he's going to end. I'd say probably at Mania. So I mean, you've got plenty of time to build this up, make it into something. But yeah, this honorary Oos thing is like the best part of wrestling right now. It's the story everybody wants. And I echo what Kerry said. I mean, when they were about to kick him out, like I was legit sitting there like, really? Like, come on! This is the best part of this faction right now. Like, why are we doing this? Don't break my heart. And then they throw on the honorary
Rikishi.
booster. It's the best thing ever.
Rikishi tweets, good to see Solo Sikoa front and center. Now I have three sons in WWE. And Sami Zayn says almost four sons in a way. Like, it's so good. It's so good.
And you
Yeah,
can
so.
tell by the look on Roman Reigns' face when he's trying to look all serious. He's loving this.
Yeah,
Oh,
he's absolutely loving it.
yeah, this is like the most fun thing they've done with the Bloodline. And I mean, this might be the most fun story they've done with the Bloodline. So, yeah, let's keep this going for a while. And hey, if we're going to break up towards Mania season and, actually have a hot feud, this is the way to do it. I'm all for this. Sami Zayn, A++ here for your work right now.
In the opposite of hot, we have John Moxley,
Oh,
the three-time AEW No One Gives a Damn champion. Matt, why? Like, they could have just made Bryan Danielson a champion, gave him a little run. He would have put MJF over in a heartbeat. Why are they allergic to giving Bryan Danielson the title?
I don't know. That was a result I will never understand. I don't get it. I don't want to understand it. I mean, they've just devalued these belts so much here in the last couple of weeks. Like nobody cares that Jon Moxley is the champion. At least with Bryan Danielson, it's exciting. It's new. It's something fresh for a company that needs something fresh and exciting. So yeah, I wish I had more to say about it. It makes no sense. I don't care. I guess MJF is going to be our next champion. Awesome. Let's go with that and let's do it soon. Because Jon Moxley, I mean, one, I feel bad he's back. He needs to go on vacation. Two, he's just not an exciting champion. Like this isn't the same world we lived in 3 years ago where him joining the company is huge. Like it's just stale right now. It's not anything I care to watch.
I just care, like, I don't care about Jon Moxley's. I don't care about Jon Moxley as a wrestler. Like, he tries to be that combination of like FMW hardcore garbage wrestler guy and Steve Austin by the same little mannerisms and like the speaking inflection. Why is he champion again?
I don't know. I'm seeing a lot of people saying that they don't want Bryan Danielson's run to be because of this, because of the whole, CM Punk getting injured, Moxley's just the champion just because. A lot of people don't want to see that. So a lot of people are, I mean, I would think that the way to go with this is to, put the belt on MJF finally. And have Bryan Danielson be the one to take it off of it. Run a program for, a good little bit of time. Like, I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of with that. I definitely want to see Bryan Danielson get the championship run that he deserves. I don't, Moxley just, it's, he's a sad sack. It's old. It's been done. And we've seen him champion multiple times. It's like, it's not, AEW right now is just so stale. because the, like we've been saying for months upon months upon months, the booking sucked. There's no direction. There's no cohesiveness. There's no nothing. It's just garbage. And I mean, it just fit. Right now, Mox being the champion, it fits. He's a garbage champion for what right now is a garbage wrestling company. They're just, they're not doing the things that we expect them, expect a wrestling company with a TV show on national TV to be doing. They're just, they're not. It's a disappointment.
I look at it like AEW has, they have good spots, like, you know, the Acclaim. Everyone mm-hmm. loves the Acclaim. Like, that was the most happy I was to watch AEW at that point in time. Seeing them win and not react, because you know it was hard. Like, these guys came from literally, like, bottom of the card on Dark, and they built a fan following. And it's so just hilarious. They are a hilarious team that can actually go in the ring. And when they won, you could feel the energy in that crowd. They AEW should build upon that.
Yep.
And they don't. And that's the part I'll never understand. But what we do understand is this. Like I said, this is our 50th episode. So I'm going to ask you both the same question. What was your favorite moment so far in the first 50, Matt? If you had to say top of your head.
On the show here?
Yes.
Favorite moment from the show? Oh, boy. Off top of my head. You know, there was a time back in like January when Hangman and Brian Danielson were wrestling, and they were kind of in the middle of their big feud. Wrestling was just great then. For whatever reason, like, the build up to Mania was so exciting. Like, there was like a 3-month stretch where like AEW wasn't total mucus, and WWE was just doing great stuff leading up to WrestleMania. Like, there was like 3 months where I was just so invested and so into everything. I couldn't get enough wrestling. And, you know, I'm glad we took a little summer break, because let me tell you, that 3 months was just so incredible talking about wrestling. And yeah, just there was a bunch of shows in that stretch where stuff was just great in the wrestling world and on the show.
Carrie, what would you say?
My favorite moment by far is when we were, the whole Adam Cole coming to AEW. And then we got Red Dragon and the Elite, and we discussed a custody of Adam Cole ladder match. When you said that we were going to have a Cole on a pole match, that is by far my favorite moment in the show. I listen to Matt. Like, it's still, that is absolutely hysterical. A Cole on a pole match. It's just undefeated. It's absolutely undefeated.
It's funny because I was sitting there and I remember, like, it came to me. I'm like, okay, I'm going to say this and I can't laugh before I say it. Like, just get through it. Just kind of don't laugh. I try to say.
Because me and Matt laughed for a good 10 minutes after that.
Deadpan. And it was just. My approach is always deadpan. It's just like, oh,
hey, I think that's what made it so funny. It was so straight. and apparently Matt still loves it. And that was my top moment on the show. There's been nothing that has come close to that.
Yes, exactly. Now, as we wind down our 50th episode, we want to, you know, send our get well to a member of the Hot Tech family, Ms. Viv. Like, hope she's feeling better. Hope everything is right. You know, we all are thinking about you. This has been our 50th episode of the Hot Tag Podcast.